You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and lots to get to today. I know that maybe I have one listener. Thanks, Mom. That will be paying attention to what I have to say. Thanks, Mom. You've never done that before. we're going to talk about the big game, which, of course, I think has a lot of audience right now, Clemson and LSU. We're going to talk about the big games that were not, Arizona men's basketball this weekend, and maybe the women's basketball games that were not, but were very meaningful, very impressed by Adia Barnes and her situation. It's funny, Arizona, the women's team got swept by Oregon, and you feel okay about it. The men's team was swept by Oregon, and you feel very depressed about it. At least that's the vibe I got.
Well, Steve, I have to imagine, I mean, that's a product of expectations, right?
Very much so.
I mean, you're happy that the women's team has been as good as they have been to this point, and I think everybody understands the program is growing and it's getting much better pretty quickly, I would say, but there's going to still be growing pains.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I saw today's or maybe tomorrow's story by Bruce because I didn't hear Sean Miller talk about this. But here's the quote that I think is very minimal, which or meaningful. We're trying to find ourselves. Here we are halfway past the season, and they're still trying to find themselves.
That doesn't sound good to me.
To me, it does not at all. I agree with you. Halfway through the season. And let me say this. If you're not on Facebook, correct?
I am not on
lucky,
Facebook,
smart
so you
guy.
Will not be able to find me.
You very very smart of you. I know where to find you from 6 to 7.
Yeah.
Monday through Thursday.
Right here.
But everybody has an excuse of why they're doing it. And excuses, I use that word, just an explanation of what they're doing. There's a lot of things going on there. It's still a very talented team. They will have some meaningful victories down the road. But over the weekend, they really didn't do what they needed to do. They played fairly well against Oregon on Thursday. We talked about that Friday. It was a game they should have won. And Sunday, they just looked horrible, horrible against the team that played the zone against them, played harder than them, played everything against them, and they made them look marginal.
And Steve, we had talked about the possibility of a mental trap game going into that second one, because the first one goes to overtime. Really, it's a coin flip. I mean, it could have gone either way. Comes down to the last possession. Great game,
yeah.
You know, and you felt good, I thought,
correct,
maybe coming out of that one as an Arizona fan.
Yes.
And then was that the trap game effect, or was that something else?
No, I think it's something else. I think that would have been the trap game had that game been played on Thursday. Yeah, I think so. But Arizona's not good enough mentally or physically or athletically to go into a place to think, we're Arizona, we're just going to win the game. I think a lot of people think that, but that's not the case. There's still a lot of questions to be answered for the program this year, but it's a lot like other years where you have this talent or supposed talent, and they can't play well together, especially against the zone. It's happened. How old are you?
43.
So since you were 33, this has been the case. It affected Lute's teams too. If you're not going to shoot well against the zone, you're going to be in trouble. And guess what? Every year, and I can say that 10 more times, that's been the problem. And guess what other teams play?
Zone.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
The formula to beat Arizona, or a good chance to beat Arizona, what's number one on that list?
Play zone.
Play zone and play hard. You have a chance.
So, okay, I overheard a conversation at a local sports gathering place.
Was it yesterday?
It was not yesterday, but it was actually, this is going back maybe around, somewhere around New Year's, but it was kind of, it applies here because the person that I overheard talking about U of A basketball, the men's team, his point was that you know, it's kind of the definition of insanity. You do the same thing over and over and over. You expect different results. And so his point was, that's coaching. The coach has to go.
You heard this weekend?
No, this was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But his example was stretching back over Sean Miller's tenure. He does the same thing, gets beat the same way, and never changes.
Were you part of this conversation?
I was not. This was a pure eavesdrop.
Just eavesdrop on another table?
Yes.
What else did he... was he credible? And I say that, did he have other good points?
I thought so. This is somebody who clearly, by the way, they were talking, have been paying attention to the program for a very long time.
That's a great point that you bring up. I don't disagree with him to a degree, because the same things are happening over time. And it's a very good observation. Let me just say this. I covered Luke for 23 years, give or take a year or two. He had a very good team in 88. He got here in 83, could change the program, was known for being a good coach. Got here in 83, took a team to the Final Four in 88, probably his best team ever. I still believe that it was probably one of the best teams, maybe the second best in my mind. And then got stuck in some malaise with some very good players, and decided to change his attitude and just change the way he coached the guys. Went small, and wonders happened. They got to the 1994 World Series, to the 1994 Final Four, played in the national title game in 97 and won it, and then got beat in 98. So you have to change philosophy if the philosophy is not working for you right then and there. And I don't disagree with your eavesdrop guy. I just don't. It's a great observation as well.
Yeah.
We have a caller?
We do. Scott is on the line and would like to talk some hoops.
Scott, let's go. What do you got to say?
I just want to say I was at the women's game on Friday, and it was super exciting. It was a blast. Unfortunately, the women did lose, but it was a very competitive game. They had a chance at the end, and I'm super excited about the women's program. Adia Barnes has brought the women's program to the top 25. They're still ranked number 21 today. Unfortunately, ASU did get the wins over the weekend for the women's, but the U of A women, I'm just super excited. The excitement in town and the fans' increased support. I'm looking forward to the growth with the program and continuing going forward. I think a lot of positive things are in the future for the women's team.
No question. In fact, you threw me for a curve there, Scott. You knew what I knew what you were going to say. And guess what? You didn't say it.
Well, not yet. Then I was going to go into the second part.
Oh, I jumped the gun. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah.
Say it.
So obviously, disappointed weekend for U of A men's hoops. They lost as well. And just really disappointing, the Oregon game. U of A's up 6 points with a minute and a half left. And they kind of slowed the game down and kind of went away from their offense that they were using all game. And I don't think that really helped them. And then at the end of the game, they get kind of not the best shot. And then I have people thinking that it could be a foul call on the end, but the refs aren't going to call that. And to blame refs on a game like that, when U of A had the lead with 6 points left, plus the possession to win the game, no one's going to get bailed out. They still had all of overtime, and they had multiple chances at the end of overtime to win that on the last possession again. Still couldn't pull it off. So that was a tough loss, but then they played the next game against Oregon State and just fall apart, and especially in the second half. And it's just frustrating that it seems like every year we have these great talents, and it's always the greatest team ever until the season starts. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, the pieces aren't right and that they're not really meshing. Well, it's really the coach's responsibility to bring all the players into a successful spots to be the best that they can be. And he's the one who's putting the one and dones, and these players that don't stick around long enough to really build a cohesion, and the ones that do, they're not panning out like Chase Jeter and stuff like that. And unfortunately, when the defense is zoned, it's pretty much you can just add the L to the column, because it is what it is. And it's just unfortunate, because these teams that we play definitely have a lot less talent, and it seems like it's Groundhog's Day at U of A. And since Miller's been at U of A, 25 head coaches have found a way to get their team to a Final Four, and I would say 80% of those teams had less talent than U of A. So at some point, I think there needs to be a change, and sooner than better, because unfortunately I don't think it's going to get done with Miller at U of A.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while. Your case is continuing to be made. Did you do some research on the 25 coaches?
I did that a few weeks back, but I researched it, and and there's like VCU coaches, the Butler coach, and there's like all these different, these small schools that are making these epics. South Carolina made it, and then the year in 2017, when the Final Four was in Phoenix, and it seemed like, oh, the 20th anniversary of U of A winning the championship. U of A has the first round talent and marketing, and they ended up losing to Xavier, his former team, and Oregon makes the Final Four. And definitely Oregon is the number one program in Pac-12, and Dana Altman is an incredible coach. And unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out. And at what point are people going to take the Kool-Aid out of their hand and start seeing what's going on in reality?
Right, right. No, I don't disagree with things that you're saying. I guess we'll find out if this team can rebound from what happened. It'll be interesting. We have, 2.5 more months of this. If they're lucky, it means that they get into the tournament and see if they can work some magic. But
I know they made he made an Elite Eight 5 or 6 years ago, but the last 4 years we've either lost to a double digit seed or not even made the tournament. So we're going in an opposite trajectory, and we're having number one draft picks and having all these recruits. And if you can't get it done with the dream team, then who can you get it done?
Right,
with?
Right. No, every point you made, Scott, I totally agree with. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening too.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Hey, let's take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Why on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. If you'd like to call in, please do. Scott just called in with some great points. Nothing I couldn't disagree with. Putting, obviously, some blame on Sean. Sean is the head guy. At some point, when your kids, you don't have kids, do you, Senor Tom? Tom, do you have kids?
I do not.
So if you have kids and they act up or don't do well, whose responsibility is that?
I would say the parents, mm-hmm. Wouldn't you?
I think if this analogy does not work, I get it, but I like my analogy. At some point there is some blame on Sean. He's got to get them playing smarter, better, all that. So we'll see. Tomorrow he has a press conference. I'm not sure I'll go to it because given my time that I have on my other situation, but I wouldn't mind going to see what he has to say and what questions he'll be asked. But we've been here before. In fact, a Facebook post came up this morning, and I think a year or two ago, and he was disappointed in how they played, how they hustled, all that stuff. And I'm thinking, this sounds familiar. And I bet you if I go back to a few years back, it's the same song and dance. I know 2 years ago for sure he was upset with the team and how he was unable to play and coach them because of attitudes or whatever, and I'm not saying that's the case here, but it is kind of strange how they're not playing well together. And let me tell you this too: one of my philosophies, if you've paid attention to me, Tom, I know we haven't been together a while, but every game is different. It just is.
Yeah,
you know, like today is different going to be than yesterday, and it just is. You play good against or well against one team doesn't mean you're going to play well against another team, and that was the case this weekend.
You know, it's funny, Steve, because I think that there's something too when people say a team has your number.
Yeah.
Certain teams just match up well against sure. other teams for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think when your number is a single digit number and everybody has it, you know, that's kind of and through the magic of the internet, you know, you say I may or may not go tomorrow, but through the magic of the internet, you could, if you really wanted to put the time in, go back through the years and look and see what the press conferences are. But if they are, you know, smidgens of the same here and there, I was disappointed. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. And it's the same thing over and over. I mean, how much does that support Scott's point?
No. It's Scott's point and your eavesdrop guy.
Right.
The guy... I thought he made some great observations. That's why, did you know him? I was asking you, is he a smart guy?
Yeah,
you don't. You didn't know him.
And I don't, but he sounded, like I say, I mean, look, you know when somebody is talking out there,
sure.
you know what, and
sure.
when they're a knowledgeable fan.
That's how I got this job.
Fan.
Yeah.
And so here's my question, though, Steve. Let me throw this at your feet and take it where you may. Is that good enough for the University of Arizona?
No. No. I don't even know where to go with this. Because you on Facebook, where you kind of get the delusional,
Right.
The delusional fans who don't have a clue. And I say this, and I'll transition badly here. People on Facebook are not the guys or the people who are donating thousands to the U of A.
Right.
I could be wrong, but I don't think they're doing that. Because people who are donating thousands don't have time to spend time on Facebook.
Right.
They just don't.
They're out making money.
They're all making money. These people are just, I'm a big fan, but I hate this team, yada, yada. Well, are you, you're emotionally invested, not financially invested. You know how you can easily get out of it? Just get out of it. You don't have to be emotionally attached. Do you?
No.
I'm no longer a sports fan. I haven't been in years. My life is completely better.
Yeah, but it's been beaten out of us, though.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You and I both.
At some point, we just said, I've had enough.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. These guys, they have all the answers. Well, if you don't like it, just get out. You don't have to watch. You can watch and not be emotionally connected. But if you have money involved in terms of donating and hoping to see your money do well for the school or the coach or whatever, I would understand your unhappiness.
Sure.
But I don't see that because I know a lot of boosters, they're not upset yet. But there's still time for that.
Well, that I guess, and that's part of my point is because we know who the movers and shakers really are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is the people who do put their money where their mouth is. So that becomes my question is then, at what point do you say, well, we got to be better than this? Or if you're just making the tournament every year and you're a school that's on the map,
I totally agree with you. In fact, this is what I thought about this morning, probably. Arizona, over the last 4 years, and Scott brought up the time, and I've covered college basketball specifically for a number of years, they're turned into New Mexico, or they've turned into who would be a team that gets to the tournament but then gets out in the first, second round?
UNLV.
Back in the day, but even then, they're not even that anymore. UNLV has fired their coach a couple times the last couple of years.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know who that team is. TCU, Houston.
The consistent first-round flameout. That's a tough one.
Yeah, and they're out there, obviously.
Sure.
But over the last 4 years, Arizona has not been good. And everyone talks about, okay, maybe Sean needs to stop recruiting the one-and-dones. I get that completely. But then people will start complaining about... What about the talent? Well, let's go back. How's the talent working for you? How's the talent working for you?
Yeah.
Not very well, is it? 2-3 years ago, when they lost to Wichita State in the first round, they didn't have any one-and-dones. They had a veteran group that played okay together, were kind of scrappy. They lost in the first round to Wichita State. So you went that route. How'd that go for you? Not so good.
Yeah.
So which route do you go with?
Yeah, and that's the tough one. I mean, if you're building in a college, I mean, even as we talked about last week, the one-and-done schools, like Kentucky, high-profile, one-and-done, how many titles do they have?
Huge disappointment. I still think, Calipari can do it. No, he can't. He hasn't done it. He won one title under this rule that he's so-called mastered.
Although, I will say, if you brought one title to this school, you'd be the man for the next 20 years.
No question. And you have this reputation of being the man that brought the title to.
Right.
Not that it saved Lute's career or lifestyle or whatever, but it validated him.
Sure.
And it validated the school.
Sure.
I've said, and I mean this, I don't mean this jokingly, is Arizona still a basketball school? You were 43. You were 22, 23, 24 when they won the title.
And I don't even really remember that. And I followed it then.
Yeah.
Like I followed college basketball.
Yeah, at some point you got to say, would I use that arrogance, that untold arrogance or whatever arrogance I used last week when I saw that story about the Cowboys? Okay, I like to think I'm a good-looking guy, but it doesn't matter to me what I think. It's what people think.
Right.
And I'm not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can have this me thing. But if nobody pays attention to you, what's the point of being me, me, me?
Kind of the lipstick on a pig thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I wear lipstick.
It's a lip gloss.
It's a brighter shade of red. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, you can think of yourself or whatever, but if you're not doing it, you can talk all the stuff you want.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Arizona hasn't been to the Final Four in almost 20 years. And you could, this is one of those sports, and we're watching the championship game here now. How are you measured?
I think you're measured in college sport, the major college sports in two ways. You're measured by how many players you put in the show and how many titles you win.
Okay, titles you win. Okay, so big. So that's you're talking two different things now. The show into the league, as they say, as the kids say. Why do you think they're coming here? To get into the league?
I don't think Arizona has that going for it.
That's the one thing they have. I mean, if they have anything, that's the thing they have.
But do they really?
He has a ton of cachet with that. You know, the Lauri Markkanens, the Aitons, the Triers, they come here because they're going to get in the league. And then, well, look, he has three pretty good players on the roster now. They're going to probably have a very good chance at the league. They come here for that reason. You just can't get them to play together or play hard or whatever. Whatever is missing from this. Does that make sense? They have Aaron Gordon. They have a lot of these players who have gone to the league. Other players see it. And guess what they want to be? They want to be that guy making a lot of money because they came to school here, and you live off that reputation of being the school that to get you to the league.
And you want the guys who think they can be the man.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, you want that swagger and that confidence. But I guess the question then becomes, okay, so do we as a school, any school, but do we as a school, do you try to get that one hotshot superstar guy and surround him with a cast? Or do you get a couple of them and hope it works out because there's only one ball?
Well, guess what? Right now, we're in the hope it works out category. And guess what? It hasn't worked out. It just hasn't.
No.
It's been almost 5-6 years since I got to the Elite Eight. I used to be a skinny guy then. Less gray hair.
I didn't have any gray hair then.
Oh, you?
I don't think I had gray hair then.
Do you have it now?
Oh, I do. I get the salt is creeping.
Yeah. Hey, you might want to move that screen a little bit for me.
Okay.
Because I can't see the time, but we're going to go to break, aren't we? Hard break pretty soon?
We got 30 seconds.
We got 30 seconds. Right now, I can say in that 30 seconds that Clemson had the ball, moved the ball a little, but had to punt. Now LSU has the ball and are on their side of the field in a 0-0 game with about 11 minutes left. So we'll take a break, come back, I'll talk a little about football, continue to talk about basketball, and finish up the show, half hour. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. In with me is my guy, Tom Callahan. Tom, thanks for joining me.
Always, Steve.
Aren't you required?
They do pay me to be here.
It's funny. You will watch TV and you say, and now let's go to a report by Jim Smith. Talking about the weather. So, Jim Smith, it's a great day today and sunny outside, and tomorrow's going to be sunny too. Back to you, Biff. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Well, he gets paid to be there, so why are you saying thank you?
Yeah, well, it's polite. It's courteous.
I don't know what that means.
It's better than way to do your job, bozo.
Yeah, way to do. Thanks for showing up on time.
That's something.
Yeah. So we're still in the first quarter. 9.5 minutes left. Clemson has the ball. They got the ball. Yeah, no, they're punting.
Yeah, they're punting again. It's actually been just trading changes of possession so far.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll keep you updated for the next half hour, and then I'm going to run to go watch it as well. It's always fun to watch this game. So we could talk about football, basketball all day and be kind of cranky, but good. It was a good segment. Or we could talk about women. Let's talk a little bit more about basketball.
Sure.
So there's questions about the lineup. He's really changing his lineup a lot in terms of rotations. Very strange. I could see that he was trying to mix it up, trying to get some kind of spark that was never coming. They struggled in the first half but tied, and then they just got blown out in the second half. It rarely happens. In fact, my story was since 1985, when you were just when were you born?
I would have been nine.
You'd have been nine. Since you were nine, they've lost 10 times. Yesterday was the 10th time to Oregon State. And they've won, 35, 40 times? I can't remember. So this is a very rare situation. First time they've been swept by the Oregon school since 2006. And the worst defeat since 1989 to the Beavers. What in the world is this world coming to? So now he has to figure out a way, gets paid a lot of money to this, how to get these guys back on track. So if they win their next two or three, what do you think that means?
Okay, so I believe with certain exceptions, that, and I do believe non-conference matters. Please don't take what I'm about to say as non-conference doesn't matter.
Matters. Okay.
Non-conference does matter because you know what? You got to schedule the games, and the games you schedule mean something.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I believe within the conference play, once that happens, these are teams that see you far more often and probably game plan for you a little bit more and might be a little bit more familiar with you and your ways. I think that what conference play shows are two things. The systemic strengths and weaknesses of your system, which I guess is redundant, sorry, but also the quality of your talent and your players and their ability to execute that system. Okay. Is that being exposed right now? I think a little bit. I think so. I think, I mean, I almost hate to say this, Steve, but I think people who are high on this team might be misplacing their trust a little bit. I honestly, after watching them the last couple of weeks, I don't have my hopes set very high.
No, no, and nor should you. And they haven't won, they haven't beaten anybody to this point.
They've hung in on a couple times, and the Baylor game, just throw that one out, it was trash for both teams.
Right, right.
But what have they shown me? And like I say, if the first game of the weekend on Friday night, you know, you take it to OT, it's a one-possession game all the way down to the wire. That was two really good teams, and I'm like, oh. Now, if you lose that in overtime, and then you come out on Sunday, big win, and you move forward from that, I feel better. But that is not only not what happened, but the complete opposite of what happened.
Yeah. So, which leads me to believe that there's issues on the team.
Somewhere.
What they are, I do not know. But a good team like that doesn't get beat like that.
You would think.
You would think. Yes. Is it correctable? Of course it's correctable.
Well, sure.
Solvable? Sure, of course. That's why he gets paid the big bucks to figure this out.
Yeah. That's why you and I are sitting in a radio studio and talking about this. But by the same token, I don't know. I feel like universities can very easily get blinded by contracts. They sign deals, and then a lot of times it is not what's quote-unquote best for the program, best for the student-athlete.
Yeah.
It's what's best for the pocketbook.
No question. No question. Are you telling me that schools lie?
No, I didn't say that at all. I just said they're fiscally concerned.
I was hoping you'd say yes, because I know they do.
I have never for 1 minute in anywhere in the world of sports believed that anybody's been giving me 100% of the truth.
Right. And you've been in the system.
Sure.
So you should know.
Yeah. Maybe at first. And you learn when you make those connections of who does shoot you straight.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, everybody has some kind of message behind the news they're delivering.
Sure. No question. No question. That's another reason why I'm not a big sports fan. I know how the sausage is made. And it's not, that's why I don't eat sausage.
Yeah.
It's too much poop in there. I'm going to have to make a shirt. I might market a shirt. You know that?
Yeah.
You're talking about that.
I think you need to.
Yeah. I think I am. I'm going to talk to my agent. Yeah, who's what? My mom? I don't know who that is.
We'll start a website, steveshirts.com.
Steveshirts.com. Yes. Say some stupid stuff on the shirts. Kind of like I say now. So we'll see what happens. A lot of things to work on. No question. Does he have enough talent? Yes. I like this team a lot. I've said this ad nauseum on this show. Thursday's game really set me back because it showed that they are having a hard time knowing how to win. That's a big concern. Big concern. And then Sunday's game opened my eyes to just, I've seen enough games in the thousands to know that there's just something not right. And I don't care if it's a zone or whatever. It's just something not right. And I've seen it before, too many times. I read the book about this.
So is everybody else.
So is everybody else. Some people are in denial, and some people just don't know what to put their finger on. True?
I think so. I think some people can read the book and come out with a totally different interpretation.
Very much so. You know what? That's a great observation, because people do that. People do that. Well, that's why we have Republicans and Democrats.
Exactly.
Or whatever you want to say. Yeah. Yeah, you can read it one way, and it's the same book. In fact, I have a funny story. About 15 years ago, a youngish guy, maybe 25-ish, came up to me in a boxing match, a boxing arena, and he said, "Steve, I've been reading you since I was a little kid, and I enjoy your stuff, but let me ask you a question." And he's a friend of mine. He says, "Why is it that you and Greg Hansen go to the same event and come up with two totally different scenarios?" Well, I said, really had no answer for him. Just this, I guess, just experience, I guess. But it's true. How you look at things are different than other people.
It's the color of the tint on your glasses.
Mm-hmm. My contacts. Yes.
Are you wearing the rose colored ones or, you know, the blue blockers?
I can't afford those, so I'm just wearing dailies.
At least you could see.
At least I can see. Am I in focus? Not so much, but I can see. Yes.
I don't know. I think you're pretty sharply in focus on what's going on here.
Yeah, I just don't know. Put my finger on it completely. I know a lot of people ask me stuff on Facebook and off the grid. I do have some philosophies on what's going on, but I'll reserve those till later, maybe in a big column for down the road. I just know that they have to get it fixed because this doesn't look good, especially with a talented team. I think that's the big... how many times have you been in your capacity as a sports guy in your hockey days? Have I asked you this? How many years?
Let me do a quick tabulation. Something like 15 in the world of hockey.
15 of those 15, how many have underachieved?
Oh, I would say probably three or four that you really that I have better expectations for.
And what about overachieved?
Maybe once or twice.
Yeah. It's always the lesser.
Yeah.
It's always the lesser.
Yeah.
Of the two. And underachieved, why?
A lot of times I feel like it was because the expectations did not match up with what was actually, if you looked at, speaking of rose-colored glasses, if you take those off, take the blinders off, and you look and honestly assess what you have, I think people overshot what was honestly there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no question. And especially if their own, it's like having two kids, and you say, oh, they're the greatest. They're the greatest.
Right.
They can be getting D's and F's. They're the greatest.
Uh-huh. Smartest kids in the world.
Smartest. Yeah, they just don't know. They just don't apply themselves or whatever.
Teachers don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other things, but that's a good one too. Yeah.
Sounds like that guy who's like, I would have made the NFL too if that coach hadn't disliked me in high school and benched me. I should have been the starting quarterback.
Right.
I don't know about that.
Right. No, we always have different opinions, so it's funny. It looks like, oh wow, see that play? Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Conversely, the women's basketball program is doing very well. They've lost three straight. But they're still in the top 25, which of course means nothing, but it's just what it is. And they played unbelievably competitive with two of the top five teams in the country, had the number two team in the country on the ropes, as they did on Friday and Sunday. I think it's a proud day for Arizona women's basketball, even though you're disappointed that they lost.
See, this is more growing pains, though.
Right. Right.
This is Adia Barnes helping them climb the ladder and them getting better.
Sure. No, these are your kids, your two kids, those same two kids.
Right.
Who are getting D's, but guess what? They were getting F's before.
Right.
Now they're getting D's. Thank you, son. You're improving. You're doing really well.
Different tutor.
Right. But that's exactly it. It depends on the perspective of the view. So we'll see. Are we going to go to break here in a second?
Yeah, we can.
Let's go to break here, and we can talk about other things. Want to talk about that Houston Astros debacle.
Oh, my goodness. I got opinions.
Yes, good. Let's do that. Here on 1030 The Voice, come back. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. We come back to tell you that Clemson has just taken the lead 6-0 on a quarterback carry from the one-yard line. So it looks like LSU might have some work cut out for itself.
I think it's going to be a good game either way.
I do too. I do too.
These are two really good football teams.
Right. Clemson's not there for any crazy reason. They're good. And we all know about LSU. Trevor Lawrence got in from the one. Good game, good play. So the Astros, so they got hit pretty hard. Some say not hard enough.
I'll be honest with you. I was surprised baseball dropped one-year suspensions and a $5 million fine.
You know what happened since, right?
Well, they got fired.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I understand from a standpoint of if they're suspended for a year, why do you keep them around? But by the same token, especially with your general manager, that's a guy who has built you into a serious hardcore contender.
Mm-hmm. And a consistent one.
Right.
Yep.
I think they're going to regret that.
Really?
Yes. I think they'll regret firing him.
Do you think he gets rehired somewhere else?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Major League Baseball, Major League Football, Major League Basketball is forgiving?
Well, it's yes, and all the sports recycle.
Yeah, very much so.
If you get inside that little beltway and you manage to kick around for a while, you'll get another job. You know, I mean, we see that here with... You know,
at the college level.
Football coaches always end up somewhere else.
Right.
Basketball coaches always end up somewhere else.
Very much accurate. I totally agree with you.
Unless you Bob Knight yourself.
True. Or Dave Bliss yourself. You remember that story? Dave Bliss, Baylor. One of his players killed somebody and told him to lie.
Yeah.
Yada, yada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's taking it a little far.
Winning means a lot to a lot of people. Let's just talk about the Astros. So it's a big deal. Boston looks like it's going to have its issues here pretty soon.
Yeah, they will.
Is there a chance, this is a dumb, naive question, because I have no idea. Is there a chance to cheat in hockey?
I suppose you could. It's harder because there's no signs. It's not like, and I mean, look at football. You can steal signals in football, just like you can steal signs in baseball.
Omaha.
Yeah, if you can figure out the other team's chatter, yeah. And if you can figure out hand signals in basketball when they're calling plays, you have the advantage.
But
doesn't really exist in hockey.
But is that cheating or is that just preparing?
Okay, so if that's your argument, then what's the difference between that and stealing signs in baseball?
I don't know. See, let me tell you something. I don't see it as cheating. Maybe their method is cheating, but I don't think... If you can't hide your signs well enough for me to decipher or to figure out, you're just not good at it.
So here's my argument for that, Steve. And this is what annoys me, because I used to be a catcher. I got scolded if I didn't hide the pitch signs well enough. No end.
You couldn't do your little smoke signal thing?
Right. So when the catcher is down in the crouch and given the signs, you have to drop your glove if you're right-handed signals with your right hand. You drop your left hand outside your shin guard to block the view of the third base coach or a runner on third.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to put it against your left thigh your right thigh to block the view of the first base coach as well. You have to really make sure that you have it in a spot where no one's supposed to see it. And I would get run over for that, as would every other catcher who's a young catcher. So what's the difference if you steal that sign or if you're... I mean, look, we have crazy high-tech cameras and surveillance systems and all kinds of stuff now that can help you steal signs.
Mm-hmm.
But I never understood, and I love baseball. I love baseball and I love baseball history. I just don't understand why everybody gets so fried when you steal signs, because
I don't either.
Everyone does it.
Yeah, I don't
everyone
either.
Everyone does
I
it.
I don't either. It's funny because I don't either. It says, well, the guy in the second base can steal the signs. You know what you don't do? Don't give up a double. Don't let him get on first and steal second.
But that's why you also go out and change the indicator.
Yeah.
And you move your signs around.
Sure. If you're second inning, third inning, yeah, sure. Sure. The reason why the Astros got caught is because somebody in the organization went somewhere else and ratted them out.
Right.
You mean that's a bit shady. Does that make sense?
Well, yes. And it smacks of sour grapes. And here's the other thing is, do you want that person in your organization? You know what I mean? What's to say they won't do the same thing to you?
Yeah, right. No, exactly. Exactly. And who do you trust? I'm not saying kill the messenger, but I get the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
To me, if you can't hide your signs well enough, that's on you. I know the cans are hitting the cans and blah, blah, blah. You still have to hit the ball. You still have to do things to win the game.
Right.
You have
to hit the pitch, even if you know it's coming.
Right. I'm not, how can I say this? I'm not endorsing it, but you know, and it's not even the other teams complaining. It's the major league. It's the, what do they call it? Integrity of the game?
Yeah.
It's funny. What do you hear when you say integrity of the game? Whether it's football, baseball, what does that mean to you?
You know, it's funny. The first thing that comes to mind is Pete Rose.
Yeah, there's no integrity of the game.
Right. I mean, look.
It's like the sanctity of marriage.
Yeah, one of the biggest, most overt racists ever to play baseball is a celebrated Hall of Famer in Ty Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they're not. They will never talk about taking Ty Cobb out. They'll just be like, "Oh well, that was 100 years ago, and that's just how it was then." That holds no water for me. So there's double and triple and quadruple standards all over the sporting world.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just shrug, Steve, when I hear stuff like this. It's just, you know what? It's part of the game. And again, if you don't think every team is trying to steal signs, if you don't think there's 20-some-odd other Major League Baseball teams right now going, man, I hope nobody figures out how we're doing it.
Right, right. So that said, when you heard the NCAA coming in on Arizona and some other schools, what did you think? Everybody's doing it?
Yeah. They're just the ones who got caught.
Mm-hmm.
I think that every program has outgoing cash flow to prospects and or families.
Do you think it's still going on?
So,
I'm not saying specific to here.
Right.
I'm talking about in the game.
Do I think it'll ever disappear is a more important question. And
no.
My answer is no.
No. Yeah, no.
Even if you pay the kids.
Pandora's box has been open.
Sure. And that's the thing is they'll find other ways to do it.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Sure.
They will find ways to get things done and to curry favor, and it's never going to change. And you know why? Is because as sanctimonious as the NCAA likes to be in talking about student athletes, guess what? It's a big business.
It's a big business.
You do not pack the Superdome in New Orleans for one football game for the college championship and tell me you're making no money off this.
Yeah.
And they're a nonprofit.
Do they say that?
Well, no, they don't say that, but the NCAA is a nonprofit.
Okay. Yeah.
So implicitly, yes, they are saying that. It's a nonprofit organization.
A nonprofit where everyone's making tons of money.
Right. Yeah.
I want to be that guy.
Right? Yeah, we're a 501c3. Yeah, okay. I'm not saying they are. That's obviously a charity designation. But for all I know, they might be. There are creative ways to stash everything. So no, you're never going to convince me that Sports Steve has this high level of integrity. I think that comes down to the individual participating in the sport or the activity.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are people of integrity, and some people do behave according to a higher level.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But not everybody.
No. And we're talking about baseball and football and basketball and all that. It's a game that winning means a lot, and you're identified by winning. I know we're kind of going full circles.
Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Millions.
I am a thousandaire.
So I'm a hundredaire.
I'm a hundredaire, yeah. It's more accurate, to tell you the truth. So we'll see. So the women, we talked a little about the women. We talked about the Astros. We'll come down on the Boston team here in a few days, maybe a month at least. Anything else nationally you want to talk about?
Yeah, I actually want to ask you, since it's relevant tonight, Clemson's got a 7-0 lead on LSU right now. Does the college football playoff work? Is this the best of an imperfect system that we've seen so far?
Yes, but and there's always a catch to it. Like they did in basketball, you have your four best teams or your supposed four best teams. Do you know, and they're already talking about it right away, well, why don't you put six? Why don't you put eight? And then guess you go to eight, guess what happens?
Right.
Why don't you go to 16?
Right.
And why don't we just have a big tournament? You get 12 people in a room. You think 12 people are going to agree on something? Was it 12 angry jurors? Doesn't work that way. I mean, just too many chefs in the kitchen or whatever they say.
Oh, yeah. You're too many cooks spoil the stew.
Yeah, you're not going to have the same amount of people liking or agreeing on things, on anything, pretty much. I mean, heck, that's why the divorce rate. You can't even get two people to agree on something.
Pretty much.
You want three, four, five people? So this thing will probably expand to six teams. In the next few years, maybe eight teams.
I could see them going to 8 just to keep it nice and even and to get a few extra games on the schedule, honestly. But gosh, I mean, could I see them expanding it even further? Yes, out of greed. But at that point, I think the quality of the football degrades.
No question. No question. And then, well, you know, the student athletes need to go to school. It's going to take a lot of time from the school. You get that argument. They don't care.
No.
They don't care.
Are you kidding me? If you're going to tell me that that matters somehow, I don't understand how you can be okay with basketball having a long season like it does, or baseball, or any sport.
Sure. Sure. Baseball I can see because it's in the summer, and you have, if you make the playoffs, you know, make the NCAA tournament or whatever.
Well, then you got to miss finals.
Then you miss finals. Depends what it is. Yeah, yeah. And quarters, if you're in quarter system or whatever. But yeah, yeah, there's no question. A lot of weird things in college sports, especially when it matters to the kids. Shut up. Who are you fooling?
You know, the kids are, if they're not already drafted, they want to be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, I mean, some of them are playing for the glory, some of the lesser sports, of maybe not turning pro because there's no pro league for them, but certainly for the scholarship and the accolades that go with being an athlete.
Sure. Yeah, it happens. And more power to them. And that's, as a journalist, that's where the good stories are. They're not on the football field. They're not on the basketball court. They're in the real world of other sports. You know, because they struggle to play. It's like when I've said this, I'm going tangential again. You play football and basketball players, and I know they generate the money in the programs. Is it fair to the soccer players? Is it fair to the volleyball players where they're not getting paid? Because they work just as hard.
Yeah, I don't have a great answer for that, and I don't think anybody else does. I don't think it's necessarily fair for the kids who do put in everything that they have into their field hockey. You know what I mean? But that's their sport. It's what they love, and they've dedicated their life to it.
Right.
Doesn't make them any less.
So if you're an offensive lineman and I'm the running back and I have a great season,
you're buying me a steak dinner, buddy.
You're exactly. I mean, what differentiates your salary to mine? You're opening the holes for me.
Right.
Shouldn't you get compensated just as well?
But just because I'm a big man, and I was not, you know, small and fleet of feet.
That means I got to get you a big steak.
Yes, it does.
A big steak.
Yes, it does.
Or guess what? You'll say, hell with you. I'm not going to block for you anymore. You think you're making all this money? I'm just going to sit here and let them tackle you.
Yep. And that's, I mean, you don't want that guy on your team anyway. But
you don't want that guy. There's a lot of dynamics to this game here. 30? Okay. Well, we're going to probably call it a day here. That was a quick. It went fast.
It does go quick.
Especially when we talk well. We talk simpatico. So we'll leave here with Clemson with a 7-0 lead with about 2.5 left in the first quarter. I'm going to run and try to find me a place to watch this game.